I thought I was organized. You know, we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit in this church lately. And when I was growing up, I heard about the Holy Spirit, but not a lot. Where I grew up, in the church that I grew up in, it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father and Son, but the Holy Spirit was just like an afterthought. And as we've been talking about it lately, you know, I've come to realize that there's a whole lot more to the Holy Spirit than what most of us know. And he's been really dealing with me about who he really is. And if you look in the up, you know, what the Strong says, it says he's a breath, like a breath of fresh air. And, you know, I was talking to Corby and Steve earlier when we got here, and we were talking about we're going to Florida, and you said, I told him we're going to Siesta Key. One of my favorite things to do is lay on the beach and let that cool breeze blow over you. And what then, when I lay there in the sun and let that cool breeze blow over me, what happens? I become so peaceful that I can just fall asleep in an instant in the sun. Of course, that's bad news because I turn as red as Jack's shirt. But that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He can give us that peace, that breath of fresh air over in our life, no matter what our circumstances are. And he give us that opportunity to rest in God and rest in him. So I looked up a lot of references to the Holy Spirit, and I found out that he has more than one name. He has actually 12 names in the Bible. He's referred by 12 different names in the Bible. And I don't think they're just names. I think they're the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, not just the name. So each one is necessary for us. Each of these 12 names or 12 characteristics is necessary for us to practice and use to strengthen our faith. And I'm going to give them to you today, and I'm going to give you the Bible references today, and I'm going to tell you what I think. Of course, my opinion doesn't mean a lot, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. But I found as I was studying and doing this message, you know, that as I read each of these names or characteristics, I've used every one of them over the years. I didn't actually realize I was doing it, but I've used each and every one of them. I prayed to God and the Holy Spirit for a specific thing in my life, and that is the characteristic that he gave that came forward. And boy, you know, that was really eye-opening for me because, you know, I know when I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to come into my life, I'm also praying to God and Jesus. It's all one. But it showed me that God's characteristics stretch beyond what we really think. It's even bigger than what we really realize. So I'm going to start right here. Number one. Author of Scripture. You gotta excuse me while I flip through my tabs here. Second Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, right away it tells you the very first characteristic is if you're into the Bible, he read it all. He wrote it all. and he breathed his spirit into it. If we believe what that scripture says, how can we not believe what the Bible says? Because he's telling you, God's telling you right then and there, that my Holy Spirit breathed the words into these scriptures. This is my word to you. Number two, and we hear this one a lot. Comforter, counselor, advocate. Isaiah 11:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Wow. You know, it says it in three words. It tells you right away. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding. You know, if you're going to counseling, what do you want? You want somebody to give you an answer that gives you some understanding of what's going on in your life. Well, there's no better counselor than the Holy Spirit. See, because he's the head of all counsel. Also in John 4:16. Oh boy. John 14:16. And I'm actually going to do 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will take the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. You ever get in a situation where you're in a disagreement with somebody? And you can't figure out an answer. Nobody can agree on anything. And what's going on? You're right. No, they're right. And you're right at each other's throat. You're ready to, you know, you're going crazy on each other. And what do you want? You want an advocate to step in and negotiate the peace. You want somebody to come in. Clyde will tell you. He talks to me all the time when he was going to union meetings. Him and Oscar talk about it all the time, how they would have a negotiator come in to negotiate the peace. You know, wouldn't you like to have a negotiator on your side? You know, when you're having a tough time in your life and something's really got you troubled, wouldn't you like to have an advocate to negotiate the peace in your life? Man, I surely would. Number three is convictor of sin. John 16:7-11 says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You know, he's saying, when I died on the cross, I convicted sin. I made it go away. You know, one of my favorite things to remind myself of when we were talking about at the beginning, you know, I'm not always in the right spot. But I can always rely on the last three words that Christ said on the cross. It is finished. And wow, you know, those are powerful three words for me, because I can make mistakes, but I can also be forgiven for those mistakes. And that forgiveness is so powerful in my life. And sometimes I think I'm not worthy of it, but he gives it to me anyhow. See, and we can do that. We can get that forgiveness by using the Holy Spirit as our advocate to go to the Father and say, I need your help here. Can you speak to him for me? Because sometimes, you know, I think we're afraid to speak to God when we feel like we've done something wrong. But, you know, it's hard, because God's a big God. And you have to have, sometimes you have to have that advocate to get in between you and God and transfer, say, your words to him. Number four is deposit, seal, and earnest. Let's see where I am. 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He set a seal of ownership on us. Man, oh man. Wow. That is powerful words. That we're God's. And that he's guaranteeing, you know, he set that deposit on it. You know, if you ever go buy a car and you go in there and you, God only knows I know that. You're going to make a deal with the guy and you give him some money so he can go and talk to the manager, which you really don't need to do, but you know, you're giving a deposit that says, I'm serious about buying this car. And then you're guaranteeing that if the numbers come together, you're going to take possession of it. See, that's what God's doing. He's giving a deposit, and he's guaranteeing he's going to take possession of us. See, his deposit is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is moving and flowing through us, is our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, all the things that we've talked about in the first three, and he's guaranteeing our ownership to him. Wow, powerful. Also on this, Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. It's basically saying the same thing as the other Scripture. The Holy Spirit and God is guaranteeing our ownership to him. Don't you want to be in God's ownership? I do. I really do. And sometimes I feel like I've wrecked the car, you know, and it has to go away. It has to be fixed. But see, what I'm talking about today is we have somewhere to get it fixed. We've got an advocate. We've got a repair shop that we can use that goes directly to the Father. Number five is guide. John 16:13. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you when it is yet what he will tell you what is yet to come. Wow. How many times have we heard Oscar say we need to have ears to hear? You know, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's saying right here, the Holy Spirit will come and talk to you, and he will guide you in all the truth. You know, that's what we need. Don't we need a guide to walk through our faith? You know, sometimes our faith can waver. I think we can all agree with that. But that doesn't mean that we can't get the guide back. You know, call for the Holy Spirit to get you back on the path where you need to be. See, I think all these things that I found as I'm reading these, I'm thinking, I've used all these in one way or another in my life. All of them. And I'm going, man, oh man. I didn't realize that because, see, I didn't really know who the Holy Spirit was until we started talking about it more and more here at church and talking about it in Bible study and talking about it and other things. And man, it's just like, where have I been? Where have I been? I've had the opportunity to use all of these tools or characteristics of the Lord to keep my faith strong and strengthen my faith in my walk. Number six is indweller of believers. Well, it's Romans 9 through 11. 8, 9 through 8, 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. That's just saying, if you believe in the Lord, he's going to give you life. Not only here on earth, but in heaven. And wow, that's something really big too. I mean, every one of these just popped out at me like, can I really understand that what I'm saying here? And I'm going, I don't know. But I do know that the more that I read the scriptures and the more I read into it, the more it became very clear that how real all this is. Number seven is intercessor. Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. See, there we are again. You know, we don't know what to pray for. You ever feel that way? You ever be in a situation where you're going, man, I do not know what to do. And you go, I'm going to pray. And you sit down and you get in a quiet spot and you're going, okay, Lord. And then you don't have a word to say because you got no clue. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray for him. But see, right here it says, pray to the Holy Spirit and he'll intercede. And those words will be wordless groans to the Father. And he'll understand exactly what's coming, what you're trying to say. You know, sometimes it's better off not to say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Have I ever done that? No. Number eight, revealer, spirit of truth. Well, where am I? 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. We have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For he who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. See if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can discern the truth, what's true and what's not true in our lives. See, worldly truths can be really foolish. I know for myself, speaking for myself, there have been many times in my life where I thought I made a right decision on something, only to realize that this isn't the person I am. Kathy and I were talking about it, and we kind of laughed about it yesterday afternoon. We were talking about all the years I was in the car business, and she'd say, you always wanted to be a manager, but you never could be one because you couldn't do it. Because it's not who I was made to be. I wasn't made to be the manager. I was made to be the salesman. You know, we all can't be managers. We all can't be salesmen. We have to be who we are meant to be. And that's really hard to do because everybody wants to succeed in life. But see, you can be the most successful person in the world if you are who you are. See, that's the hard thing to understand. Be yourself. And trust in the Lord to allow him to do all the things we're talking about here. Guide you, lead you, intercede for you, advocate for you, counsel you, comfort you on the one thing that you are in your life and be the best that you can be. You know, Cynthia will tell you tell students, be the best you can be, right? If that's as good as you can do, that's as good as it can do. But as long as you're being the best that you can be, you're going to be successful. You talked about it this morning in Sunday school. About the guy where the teacher kept saying he was stupid, and he wasn't going to amount to nothing and became a millionaire, and he had to go back to the teacher and said, you were wrong. See, he was the best he could be when he was in school, but nobody wanted to give him the opportunity. See, that's what our faith is about, opportunities. Our faith is about opportunities to trust in the Lord. And have complete trust in him. See, and when we have the trust in the Lord, how can we fail? Because he's leading our life. You bringing that to me? Thank you. I must be losing my voice. Number nine, Spirit of God, Lord Christ. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us freedom. Because of all the things that we've said, I've said to you so far, that what He can do for you. He gives us the freedom to trust in the Lord, to strengthen our faith, to rely on God, on the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which are all one. See, and when we realize they're all one, you can be free to open up and say whatever you need to say. It'll all be discerned. God will understand everything that you're trying to say. Ten. Spirit of life. Romans 8:12 says, 11 and 12, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. And I've already said that once, but, nope, I got the wrong one, never mind. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, the Spirit of life. Wow. Spirit of life is unbelievable. Again, see, it says it sets you free. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to have the freedom to speak to the Lord openly and honestly and sincerely? See, I think the Holy Spirit can do that for you. I think the Holy Spirit can do that no matter what your situation, no matter how bad you feel, no matter what you think you can't say or can say. See, I think the Holy Spirit opens that door and says, walk in and say whatever you need to say. Number 11 is teacher. John 14:25-26 says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, if we're believers, and we've listened to sermons and read the Bible over the years and believe in the Lord and believe what we've heard. See, you can continually learn. See, for me, one of the things that I try and do every day is learn something new every day. I'll guarantee you, Cynthia does that. She tries to learn something new every day that she can relay to her students. You know, something, even if it's minute, something you never heard of, something you've never seen before, something you've never heard before. Don't we always want to continue to learn? See, don't we want to have a teacher in our life that's continually saying, if you hear this, you'll learn something about it. See, I want the Lord to teach me. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me because, see, the teaching I want from the Holy Spirit is the trust, to teach me how to trust in the Lord and believe in the Lord and understand what He's trying to do in my life. He keeps blessing me. I may not see, but He keeps blessing me. He opens doors I may not see. How many doors in our life have we missed that were open? See, we need to learn. And there's only one person that can teach you that, and that's the teacher. Last one is witness. Hebrews 2:4 says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. See, that says to me that the Holy Spirit is our witness. He's declaring you and you and you and you and everybody in this room to the Lord and saying, those are your children. The Lord doesn't need to be reminded. But doesn't everyone like to hear their name said? Doesn't everyone, when someone's talking to you, would you rather call you, hey, you, or by your name? See, I think that's one of the most important things in life. Because what does that do? It builds your self-esteem. See, somebody knows me. I'm not just a nobody. See, the Holy Spirit and all these things has shown me that we're not just nobodies. We're not just everybody's. We're sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And if we have the opportunity by walking through these or using these characteristics of the Holy Spirit to get closer to the Lord. So that's why it's so important to understand that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in each and every one of us. And He will give you the things you need for the times you need them. May not always be the right answer, but you will have the answer. And if you're learning to walk with the Holy Spirit in your life and you allow Him in your heart and in your soul, then you're gonna realize, like I said, it may not be the answer, but it will be the answer. It'll be the answer for the right time at the right moment in your life. And that is really important. You might not like it, like I said, and you might get, oh man, that's not what I was expecting. But if you take the time to realize where it came from, not from you, not from somebody you'd think you talked to about it, but from the Lord, you realize it's the right answer for the right time. So I ask you today to open your hearts to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to live and flow through you. Because I believe that if we'll do that, that we will all have the opportunity to get closer to the Lord, strengthen our faith, and be ready, willing, and able to do what the Lord wants for us to do in our lives. And with that, I'm done.
Holy Spirit.